Merry Christmas, Rock Bible Church.
Merry Christmas.
And so glad you made it. Good job. The early service, you're here. You did it. Hey, we want to celebrate our Lord tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And we've done it through some great songs and some great readings. Fun prayer. Thank you for that. That was great. We want to send you on your way with some parting gifts. Not just yet. We're going to read some scripture and talk about it. But before you go tonight, we want to make sure you're aware. We've got some candy canes back there. There's no limit. Be gracious, but there's no limit. And then there's every year we put out a Christmas tree ornament that's for this year, Rock Bible Church's 2025 Christmas tree ornament. Each year it's different. Some collect them. Some buy a separate tree and put it up in the corner, and all that tree's just Rock Bible Church ornaments. I think her name's Julie. but we have a bunch of those. You can take one or two per family, whatever you want. We'd love for you to do that. And then tonight at the end, we're going to get out the candles that you have on your seats. We're going to light those. And for the last song, Silent Night, we're going to sing Turn Out the Lights. And it's kind of a tradition. This will be the 15th time, the 15th singing of Silent Night to candlelight. So that'll be kind of fun. This year's a little bit different, though. We have on the candles, we have these little plastic cups, so no burn the finger with the wax, right? They used to be paper, disposable. We're going to keep these. So if you, instead of putting them in the trash, so we have a basket in the back on the way out, make sure you put them in there. So we've been doing a Christmas series, Jesus from Garden to Garden. And I know that sounds a little, if you're here visiting, or that's a little weird. Jesus from garden to garden. Well, yeah. Well, we have this idea that part of the joy of Christmas is that Jesus coming was actually part of a pattern of God showing up on the scene regularly, doing amazing things. And first time we see that is the Garden of Eden. We see God talking to Adam. We see him having discussion with Eve and the serpent and walking in the garden with them. And then we see him other times wrestling with Jacob and renaming him Israel. We're going to see him in the one of the last gardens, the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is betrayed and then taken out for crucifixion and leads to our Easter and the cross, that symbol that we use. We want to remember this Christmas that Jesus coming as a child, born, swaddling clothes, Victor just read it so well, laid in a manger, we're going to talk about it tonight, is just another sighting, another time that Jesus shows up outdoors, apparently. He likes gardens. This time it's going to be a manger, not quite a garden, but similar. And so we're going to look at that through Luke chapter 2. This morning, we're actually going to start a little bit earlier than where Victor was reading, and then we're going to read a little bit farther. And then I want to give you three things to think about this Christmas season that should maybe enrich your view, your enjoyment, your celebration of Christmas season and who God is. Before we do that, let's pray. Lord, thanks for this evening, this opportunity to celebrate and worship you. That you came, born of the Virgin Mary, in a manger, and then all the other things that came from that. Pray, Lord, that we would see the significance, understand it, that we would treasure it, as it's going to say Mary did in her heart. May we understand the meaning and then live like it. So be with our time, Lord, your passage, your word, to your glory through your Spirit. In honor of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 is actually, it's a continuation of the story. The story kind of starts in Luke 1. We've done it in previous years. It's a different section where the angels come to Elizabeth, the cousin, say, hey, you're going to have a baby. I know you think you're barren, but no such thing with God. And then comes to Mary and says, hey, you're going to have a child too. And she doesn't believe that's going to happen. I'm a virgin. That can't happen. Well, we get to kind of mid-story, and it tells us Luke chapter 2, verse 1, that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Do we need to know that? Is that a like specific date? Specific people? We're going to get to that. We're going to come back to that at the end. This was the first. And verse 3, all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. Because there was no place for them in the inn. I really like some of the other translations that say there was no room for them at the inn, right? This is the English Standard Version, says no place. So here we have the setting. Now, we're going to switch scenes. You know, you're watching a show and they cut to a new scene. New scene. And in the same region, close by, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Okay, good. We've hit first of four emotions we're going to hit tonight. Okay? Angel said to them, fear not. That's why this angel is called the fear not angel. We're very creative as Christians when we come up with titles, right? The fear not angel says, fear not, because I'm bringing you good news. You're going to have great joy. And for how many people is it supposed to be? All the people. Great unifying message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a good guy? No. A savior who is Christ the Lord. Wow, kind of specific, isn't it? He's referencing some things from Old Testament prophecy that we'll get into some other day. But this will be the sign for you, verse 12. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. What's the goal? Does God meet his goals? This is the end game. I know right now it doesn't feel like it, right? Love that they even reference it in the prayers, that we've got places that are in conflict. That will not always be, because we have a Savior now. That there may be peace among those with whom he is pleased. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Three times now we've mentioned it. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. There's our second emotion. Wonder. First, they were afraid. Then they were told this big story, right? One of those stories like, oh, yeah, right. One of the guys says, I don't know. Let's go check it out. They show up and they find it exactly like it was described to them. Now they've got questions, right? We say wonder. No, they got questions, right? Inquiring minds want to know what's really going on here. But Mary, what's that word? Treasured. Is she beyond wonder? Mary's well beyond wonder. She's not have questions about is it going to happen or why. She's been visited by an angel. She was a virgin. She's now given born to a son. Something special is going on for her. Is she a little ahead of the shepherds? She sure is. Is she a little ahead of all those that heard it and wondered? She sure is. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising. We're going to combine those two and call them their fourth emotion. The shepherds, they got the full experience with the angels. And then they traveled and found the story exactly. Wait, you said a manger? Why would something special happen in a manger? That's pretty strange. But then they find it, and they get beyond even where Mary was. Mary says she treasured it. What does it say? They what's their emotion? Glory and praise for God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I know, I wish we could do all the stories of Christmas in one night. It just would take too long, and you guys would be like, wait, I got meatloaf in my future, right? I love this story, and I want to make sure that we understand that Christ's birth, although it's odd, how does a Savior show up in a manger? That seems kind of strange. I want to remind you that the manger is the least strange thing about Jesus. There are many stranger things than the manger that go on, right? Can you think of any of them? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Oh, is that a little bit stranger than being born in a manger? Sure is. How about healing a leprous person? How about getting a woman to stop bleeding who's been bleeding like for decades? How about bringing people back to life? How about asking questions that nobody can answer? There are things that he does that are absolutely stranger than the manger. Christmas is just meant to be one spot on the pattern of Jesus from garden to garden, showing us who he is and why he's here and that you're important. Amen? Let me give you three things and then we're going to boogie. First one is this. I got some questions about this stranger than the manger thing. I got some questions about Jesus showing up for Christmas. And my first question is this. Why is Jesus so specific? Why is Jesus so specific? That's kind of interesting that, you know, manger mentioned three times, right? Pretty clear. Shepherds can't mess that one up. But beyond the manger, there's a whole bunch more. Wait for it. Specificity. There's your big word for the night. It says, hey, from, did you remember where he came from? A gal named Lee. Yeah, from Galilee to Bethlehem. Were those pretty specific? Why the specificity? Because it says that the Christ would be a Galilean. It also says that he would be from Bethlehem. How do you make both of those true? Well, if dad's from Galilee and then you take him down and for to be registered and you're born there, but then where did he go back to live growing up? So they're both true. It says he's from the line of David. Why would that be important? Why the specificity on that? Because it means he's from the tribe of Judah and a king can only come from the tribe of Judah. Why Mary? Why the specificity of Mary? Because Mary in the previous chapter one, we find out she's cousins with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's husband is a priest. That means they're from the Levite tribe. Only Levites can be priests. And now we got the specific as to why Jesus can be king and priest. Then he says, watch, I'm going to come from a virgin born, and we're going to do this and that. And he fulfills prophecy. He's the ultimate prophet. In fact, that was our series last year. Jesus, prophet, priest, king, savior. Why all the specifics, though? Is he just showing off? Jeez, God, this is a little intense for Christmas Eve. He is showing off. And I beg you to entertain this. He shows you all the specifics. He tells you what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen. And then he does it exactly to the T, crosses all the T's, dots the I's to show that he is paying attention to every little detail. Do you want a God like that? I absolutely want a God who can call the shots and make them happen and give me specific details that don't even make sense sometimes, and then he makes them happen. Because in my life, I want a God that knows my details. I want a God that knows my specifics, when I'm hurting, when I need something, what makes me happy, what I hope for. I need a God that's into the specifics. Amen? Christmas gives us that. We get the manger in 7, 12, and 16. But I just want to give you a list of some of the other fun specifics, right? I think Denise has them for us. Here we go. Bam, manger, manger, Nazareth, city of David, Bethlehem, lineage of David, Mary, Savior, Christ the Lord, Bethlehem. Those are just to name a few. I want a God that can do that level of detail in my life. Second thing I want you to ask, that I ask, is why is Jesus so public? Why is Jesus so public? You know, this was to fulfill what the prophet said, and da da da. And a lot of this comes from Isaiah and other places. Some would say Daniel and such. But why is he so public? You know, manger, that's not a private birth, right? It's not a great place. But then they go on a marketing tour. Hey, angels, go down. We need some more people in the crowd. We're going to send shepherds over there. We're going to send a bunch of other people. In fact, if you go to other stories, aren't there three kings that show up? Or we call them the Magi. Apparently, there was a little drummer boy. I don't know how the ox and the lamb kept time. But he goes public with it. And he continues to go public. I love a God that never hides. I love a God that displays himself, announces his coming, tells you what it means, and then gives us a love letter that's absolutely public that we still have. In fact, he's going to continue to do public when he goes to the cross. He's going to do public when he's arrested. He's going to do public in the temple amongst the Pharisees. He's going to do it with the fishermen. He's going to do it with the crowds. He's going to feed 5,000. He's going to go public in every single way. I want a God that's specific to me and not afraid to be seen with me. Wants everybody to know I'm with him and he's with me. Do you want a God that's public and interpersonal, interactive? That's who we get with Jesus. And there's so many different ways that that shows up. Lastly, I want to ask you this. Where are you? Well, I'm in Pleasanton, California at Rock Bible Church. Yeah. I want to ask you where you are in terms of Christmas. I like the gifts and the whole thing. The trees, I think we have 5 of them. I don't know. Every time I turn around, Julie has another one. Right? I love the ornaments, the gifts, the food. Right? Did anybody eat yet? No, Scott. Hurry up. We're all hungry. I love all of that and all the celebration. But I want us to know where we really are on Christmas. It baffles me that I have been going places since, I think it was August that Costco started selling Christmas stuff. And since then, I've been going around and I'm saying Merry Christmas to all these people. And you know, the whole world wants to celebrate his holiday, but nobody wants to say Merry Christmas anymore. They've forgotten the meaning. Because when it comes to Jesus, they're still at the fear not angel part. They still fear. When I ask you the question, where are you? It's really about these 4 emotions that we saw in the passage. Yeah, they saw the angel, they got afraid. Then they go and they see it exactly the way it was. And everybody that hears the story goes, oh, wait, I got some questions. I wonder, could this be true? Great place to be. But were we ever meant to stop there? The reason that he got so specific and he went so public is so that we could go beyond fear and wonder and get to treasure. Mary's like, wow, this is really happening. Joseph didn't leave me. What could this mean? The shepherds go even farther than that. When they leave, having seen the angel, now seen Mary and Jesus and the whole thing, they're starting to put the puzzle together and they go to full praise and worship. Dare I suggest that these 4 are meant to be a progression. You can start afraid of God or afraid of Christians or afraid of church. I'm afraid of this church sometimes myself, right? But get to where you have some questions and you wonder about it in your heart, in your mind. And then get to a place where you can go positive and start treasuring the things that God has given you. Anybody tired of the complainers out there? How come God hasn't this and why? Is he really listening? You know, I got a problem with God right now. Really? He's got more problems with you than you do with him. How about you start wondering about the fact that you're still breathing, that you're still in a relationship, that your kids have whatever they have, and that we get what we get and don't throw a fit. And get to the place where we start praising him for the opportunities that we have. Because Jesus came, and one of the greatest things that he did is he solved the specifics publicly of our sin. One of the great specifics in that list was Savior. And when we get to Easter, some 33 years later, he's going to go to the cross. He's going to say, yeah, sin's no longer an issue. Let's you and I dance. He calls it commune. Let's commune. Let's have a covenant together. You tell me your specifics, and I will show you in public. I love that. I hope that you will continue your progression. I hope that your children understand the meaning of Christmas when they open all those gifts, and we believe in how the Lord provides his providence. May we celebrate more than the holiday. May we celebrate more than the manger. May we celebrate Jesus, God with us, as a pattern. Amen. Amen. One of my greatest memories of Christmas morning was waking up. We had a kind of a two-story house where most of everything was upstairs. Downstairs was the one little family room and the garage. And I remember coming out down the hall wondering, like, what's happening for Christmas this year? And as I breached the top of the stairs that go down, I looked down, and at the bottom of the stairs, down in that little family room, was a bow on a new bike. I thought, oh my goodness, my parents know the specifics, and I'm going to go serious public on that bike, and we're going to have a great time. May I make the suggestion that that is meant to be your relationship with the Lord as well. Amen. Father, we thank you for our time this evening and what we get to celebrate for the rest of tonight and tomorrow. Pray you guide our hearts and our minds as we ponder these things as well, as we have conversations with people, as we teach and lead our children. Show us the specifics that are important in our lives, Lord. Show us that what the things that you want public and the things that you want private. And then, Lord, take us to the very end of the progression of our emotions and experience with you. May that be our experience. We thank you for all this. And we thank you for the offering that we're about to receive. Pray that you would bless it. And we pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Now be nice to your family. May you come to a place of glory and praise for him. Amen. go with him.